Anxiety is the most common mental health disorder in the United States, affecting nearly one-third of both adolescents and adults. This, according to the National Institute of Mental Health, and younger kids are dealing with anxiety issues. So what's happening? Why are we seeing this trend? And what is the difference between a true anxiety disorder and just normal anxious behaviors? Well, here to talk about this, as well as advice for parents and any other concerned person, is Christy Porter, a school counselor at a Treasure Valley school. We should also note, Ms. Porter has a BS in Child, Family, and Consumer Studies and a Master's in Social Work. So welcome to the show.
Thank you, Gemma.
So I really want to start, Christy, with why we're seeing so much more anxiety in our society. And I know that's a big question, but do we have certain reasons that we can pinpoint?
Well, certainly we are calling this the age of anxiety. And you can look at different research that is out there right now, and there's some common themes. And I think a big part of that is what our kids are exposed to on media, especially social media, and not knowing how to remove themselves from what they're seeing. You know, we're living in an age where school shootings are the norm. We're in a post-9/11 era where kids are seeing on the news more dangerous national security issues, culminated with social media pressures, parental pressures. I think there's so many pieces that are kind of simmering in this cauldron that kids are exposed to, and they do not have the skills to remove themselves from what they're seeing.
So because of that, are we seeing true anxiety disorders, or are we just seeing anxious kids?
A little of both.
Okay.
And so anxiety over the last 50 years is increasing significantly. And most recent statistics show that 1 in 4 kids are actually diagnosed with an anxiety disorder by the age of 18.
1 in 4.
1 in 4. All kids have anxiety. All adults have anxiety. It is a normal part of life to have anxiety. But we are seeing the diagnosis of anxiety disorders skyrocket.
So can you explain to me the difference between what a true anxiety disorder is and then just anxious behavior?
When we look at the difference, you know, we see that all people experience anxiety. For example, a kid may go to a scary movie and come home and have a hard time sleeping. Those are normal things. Kids experience different normative fears at different stages in their life, maybe monsters or ghosts, fear of natural disasters. All of those things are normal. What the difference is that when it is impacting a child's day-to-day functioning, if they are unable to go to certain events, avoid situations, have a difficult time sleeping, difficult time eating on a regular basis, that is when we start looking at there may be being more of a diagnosed anxiety disorder. And when we talk anxiety disorders, there are so many different types of anxiety disorders, from generalized anxiety to obsessive compulsive disorder. So, and all of those may look a little bit different. But really, when we talk about the difference of an anxious child versus a diagnosed anxiety disorder is the severity, intensity, and frequency of the anxiety.
So what about a kid who, you know, wakes up in the morning and doesn't want to go to school, and they're quite upset and they don't want to go, but then you find out later in the day they didn't want to go because they didn't study for their test?
Well, and I think it depends on the age of the child. It depends on so many different factors as to what's really happening. So for a child who may be 6 or 7 years old and are crying every single day, crying at school because they are missing their parent, that child may have some separation anxiety that we need to look at. If it is a seventh grader who is feigning an illness because they didn't study for their math test, that's completely different.
And you still have to go to school.
You still have to go to school. So we really have to, we don't want to just assume a child may have an anxiety disorder, but sometimes it's peeling away those layers to find out what's really happening. And once we do some more assessment, can kind of figure out it may be something very simple that we can treat, or it may be something that requires further assessment and treatment.
We're talking with school and child counselor Christy Porter about anxiety in children and why we're seeing more of it and what can be done to help our kids. So, Christy, what I want to also talk about now is what should parents, A, be looking for if they're concerned about this, and then what do we do?
You bet. You bet. So, you know, when a parent comes in concerned about their child, I like to do some assessment. And there are some red flags that we look at. And it goes back to that severity and intensity. Are we seeing kids who are avoiding situations, kids who are crying regularly, kids who cannot sleep, who cannot eat, who cannot make it through their day? Those are some of the red flags. you know, what parents tend to do is dismiss some of those things and say, everything is okay. Mm-hmm. And that's rarely helpful for kids. They need a lot of validation about how they're feeling.
So what do we do then? Like, let's say you have like a kindergartner or a first grader, mm-hmm. and you know, I don't want to go to school. I mm-hmm. mean, we've all been there, right?
You bet.
Or they do have that anxiety because they miss their parent. Mm-hmm. How do you address that? We shouldn't just say like, you're fine.
Everything's okay. The first thing we need to do is validate their feelings and give them reassurance, saying, boy, it sounds like you're really upset today. I'm sorry that you're feeling that way. It looks like you're really scared, or it looks like you're feeling a little anxious. We want to name what it is that we're seeing. It may just be that they're sad. And sometimes kids look sad. And when we peel away those layers, we find out it's something they're really worried about. Mm. But if we can at least validate, I had a student that was coming in and crying pretty regularly throughout her day, and everything we were doing wasn't working. And once we finally just said, I said to her, you seem to really miss your mom. It looks like you really miss your mom. And she was like, yeah, finally someone gets it. So reassurance and validation is really the first step.
So what do you do then if you have an older child? Mm-hmm. And what if it's something about, you know, when they're trying to cope with something, and maybe this is like an undiagnosed anxiety
right.
disorder. I've read a lot about some kids, you know, not wanting to go to school anymore mm-hmm. because the anxiety is too overwhelming.
Yes.
And as a parent, I would think that you're like, okay, you don't have to go to school today. Mm-hmm. Is that the right decision?
That is a common trap that all of us parents get into. And I did research in my master's program about anxiety-based school avoidance. And it is so hard to see our kids in such distress. And that kind of goes back to kids with anxiety don't have the skills for distress tolerance. And so they avoid. And avoiding them reduces the anxiety and helps them to feel better, but it also feeds the anxiety and makes it worse. So us as parents want to keep our kids home, and that's the worst decision we can make. And the more we keep them home, the more
we play into that,
and then the harder it's going to be to get them back.
We're talking with school and child counselor Christy Porter about anxiety in children, why we're seeing more of it. We're seeing in schools across the country, there is a growing trend to bring coping mechanisms into schools for
Absolutely.
Kids. And one of them is mindfulness.
Yes.
A, what is it? And mm-hmm. B, does it work?
The research is astounding at supporting mindfulness, not only for anxiety, but for depression, ADHD, chronic pain, and really anybody that is managing stress. So mindfulness.
So all of us.
All of us.
All of us.
It really could be used for all of us. I practice it regularly, and it has made a tremendous improvement in my life. And really what mindfulness is at the very basic level is the practice of teaching our bodies to stay in the present. You know, we look at when we ruminate over what happened in the past, that can cause us to feel down, feel bad about ourselves. When we overthink what's happening in the future and live in the land of what if, which mm-hmm. is really common with anxiety, it creates stress. So mindfulness helps keep us focused on the present moment. That's all we have control over is the present moment. And by focusing on the present and being in the present, we just become more calm, more relaxed, and it actually improves self-esteem, improves empathy, compassion towards others. It just is amazing.
How open are our school districts to adding this into the curriculum, mm-hmm. but also how open are parents to something like this? Because yeah. some people can say it's kind of out there.
Right. And so when I brought it to my school, I was very excited about the support that the teachers provided, that parents would email me saying, I am so excited that you are practicing mindfulness and giving my child strategies from kindergarten up on how to relax and how to stay calm. It's used when, you know, kids get angry. I think we're seeing schools around the country using it for a variety of reasons. We hear that schools are using it in place of detention, and there are websites. Mindful Schools is a great website. So I think it's a trend that's just going to keep on going.
So very quickly, what are some takeaways for parents when it mm-hmm. comes to mindfulness? What are some things that I guess we can do with our kids? Or I guess what we can practice too.
Right. Mindfulness, I think people get scared of what that actually is, but it can be 2 to 3 minutes a day of something just to calm our bodies and help us to relax. And that really boils down to one of my favorite things, which is breathing. We can just stop at our desks. We can have our kids stop and close their eyes and just focus on their breathing. For young kids, it's kind of fun to have them lay down and put a stuffed animal on their stomach and focus on their belly rising and falling as they breathe in through their nose and out through their mouth. And it needs to be 30 seconds or a minute. That's it. That's it. And it just resets our whole body and allows us to continue with our day. There's one called the smell and tell for kids, which you give them an orange peel or a strawberry or something to focus on the scent. I mean, it's one of our five senses that keeps us present, and have them guess what that is, because it gets them out of their head and keeps them focused. I've done one of my favorite and one of the kids' favorite activities is mindful eating, where we teach them to eat something, close their eyes and actually feel it in their mouth, taste it. And it gets them out of their head and focused on what they're doing right now. Because our kids right now really and truly just gulp down their food. And it gets them to stop, slow down, and just focus on what they're doing from minute to minute.
And so with mindfulness, because we're seeing so much more anxiety, just taking that moment, are you seeing a difference with students in your school?
I do. And I've asked the students, are you practicing this at home? Thinking, you know, I may be teaching it, but they actually don't take it and use it and apply it. And I'm surprised about half of the students say they use it on a regular basis. Because one of the things we see throughout the nation is that our kids aren't sleeping. And a lot of that is they lay down, their minds ruminate, and anxiety starts at night. Mm-hmm. And so kids are using this right before they go to bed to help improve their sleep.
So I'd like to end the conversation with some takeaways for parents. If they are concerned about their child having
yes.
anxiety, maybe depression, what are some of the, if we can go back very quickly, mm-hmm. people are just joining us, what are some of the signs, the symptoms that parents should be looking for? And then what do you do? Where do you go?
Right. So if you're seeing, one of the biggest things we see is chronic stomach aches, chronic headaches, crying all the time, unable to sleep, ruminating of living in the land of what if. And if this is affecting your child's day-to-day functioning, call your doctor. You want to call your primary care physician. They can talk to you about anxiety. And then we want to look at possible counseling.
And I have to let you go.
You bet.
Sorry
you
about
bet.
That, Christy. Thank you so much for joining us today. I so appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
You are listening to Idaho Matters.